back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text shortly. Joining us now on the line, he's the head pastor at Pathway Church in Sims, but Travis Johnson's on the line with us. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning there, Jeff. It's been a rough 24 hours. Real challenging environment to be in.
It's a challenging environment, and not just, I mean, yesterday was sort of the big flashbang, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I think this has been underway, not just conservative politics, if you will, but I think it's also just traditional values and that, you know, the mm-hmm. church as well. But just your reaction to what we saw yesterday.
You know, I've wondered, is this what it felt like in 1963, 1968? You know, has anybody seen my old friend Charlie? Can you tell me where he's gone? You know, 31 years old. What is he doing? Is any different than pastors who get up in the pulpit each week, preach faithfully to their people? I feel like he was to university campuses what Jim Elliott was to Ecuador. I mean, he's a man of faith, declaring truth, sharing Jesus. And he was convincing a lot of young people to place their trust in Jesus and to be active in the public square. And can you tell me where he's gone? I mean, where is my old friend Charlie? It's a really very, very difficult thing to see.
Well, what about this? I mean, just being where we are in the political realm or the cultural realm, wherever you want to talk about it, but like, and you know, I know is persecution too strong of a word, but at least targeted, you know, having to kind of watch your back these days.
There's no question about that. We've seen the speech, we heard the speech. Just very in the last couple of days, the president of Texas A&M came out and fired a university professor for banning a student from his classroom for the student not participating in his ideological extremism in the class. There is a level of Christian persecution. Christians are the most persecuted group worldwide. And they are persecuted in America. We saw it yesterday. And, you know, I would even say, take a look around. There are some leaders, some Christian leaders that have not made any kind of statement about Charlie Kirk's assassination. Well, I would actually say he was a Christian martyr. That's what I would say. He was also a victim, target of political assassination. But you have people not sharing because they probably feel they would get canceled or the minister have to deal with some of that drama. Some of them are the problem too, but yeah, this is a moment. There is legitimate anti-Christian bias. Security is a issue, death threats. I mean, pastors experience that, political leaders experience that. It's the environment we're in.
Well, and I hope it's not this. I hope there's no chilling effect here. People are, you know, scared to speak out because, you know, what's more important, you know, being there for your family or, you know, being an outspoken about, you know, your views about the world. I get it. But that's the risk we run here, it feels like, that, you know, these people want, they want 100% like compliance with their worldview, and if you don't, you just need to be quiet.
Well, the thing that you have to recognize, the reason they did that to Charlie is because they didn't have an argument for his words, so they resorted to violence. And the best response to speech you don't like is better speech, but there is no better speech for that. That extremist, radicalized left has done a great deal of damage to our children in schools. to political discourse. You know, we saw it yesterday, even in our own government, that there was a call for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk. And a congressional leader shouted out no across the room. Who does that? Could you imagine a call for a moment of prayer after Dr. King's assassination, after John F. Kennedy's assassination, and we respond like that? This is so. The answer is for us is not to shrink back. Don't shrink back. No way. No way in the world. We speak boldly and clearly, and there's nothing. There's nothing out of the ordinary to just simply speak the truth. Charlie, two genders, family, faith, sharing Jesus. I mean, if you go and look, go and watch, just pick any video, you see Charlie Kirk consistently representing Jesus Christ. Consistently. And no, we do that. That's who we are. We speak about this. We should. This is what every person listening, we should be sharing Jesus, reading the scriptures in our home with our family, inoculating them against this mind virus, this social contagion of anger and radical activism, so they can recognize it. Go to church, be in church, double down on the institutions that have been established by God. It all matters. You know, government matters. Government is not something dirty. It was established by God. The church is a blessing. The family is a blessing. And there's some things that only I can do and some things that only you can do. No doctor, no politician, no talking head can do it. Only we can do it. And so I may not be able to change the world, but I can change my world. I can insert the truth and God's word into my world. So we should double down. We shouldn't shrink back. No way. That can't even be an option.
Well, I'll tell you something, Pastor. I was talking about this earlier on the program. I've been in this kind of conservative ink space for a couple of decades now. And you see guys come and go. You see these figures, they become kind of the it guy, and then they do something, you know, that just makes them no longer really, they go out the deep end, especially as young as Charlie Kirk was. I mean, he's only 31. He's been around a while at this game. And it's not just like being an opinion leader. Like, he was played a big role in that 24 cycle of getting out the vote and registering voters in that organization that he had built. But, like, you talk about him as the individual, and he never had that uh-oh moment. He's gone off the deep end moment. He's, you know, too big for his britches. And he always kind of kept it in perspective and kept it grounded in the core mission.
Look, when Charlie was just young and coming up, he was at Liberty University. He's an outflow of Christian education. He's at Liberty University. It was at the Falkirk Center. You know, there are plenty of guys that were down in that space at that time. I'm telling you, he was faithful to the Lord while he was dating his wife. They were honoring their vow to the Lord prior to being married. He and Erica have a beautiful family. And, you know, Turning Point USA, I mean, that's an outflow of what was happening there on that university campus. He's a dad, husband. The fundamentals in Charlie's life were pretty extraordinary. I mean, he's the kind of person that I would want as a pillar in my church. I would want my kids to have a family like him.
We're joined by Travis Johnson from the Pathway Church here in Mobile. This is kind of tangentially related. We were talking about it offline, but We had a young lady from the Family Research Council on yesterday, and this really got me like a little animated 2 weeks ago with the shooting into the Catholic Church where there were the school kids. And it didn't used to be that way. You didn't have to worry about the church sanctuary. And just in the last maybe 5-10 years, Pastor, I mean, and speak about it from your perspective, being kind of involved, but I'm sure you've had to have enhanced security. You now have to have people kind of watching in a place that's supposed to be sacred. You now need trained security kind of posted all throughout your church.
Now, if you go to any Pathway campus, whether it's in Baldwin County, in Mobile County, or over in Mississippi, you see police officers throughout the campus, and we have plain clothes, and we have our own security teams. And, you know, the biggest issue is, you know, making sure that our kids in our kids' space are secure and they get picked up by a parent who has custody of them and that sort of thing. But, you know, I would say there are a number of pastors that have had death threats and that sort of thing. And the more you get involved in things, the more that becomes a reality. But the discourse and the inability to have conversation is pronounced. And, you know, think about this. Let's for a second. So we're talking Charlie Kirk. We're talking about a political assassination, Charlie being a martyr. But think about the ministers who have passed away after living a full life. And then the response. I mean, John MacArthur, he passed away. And just a lion in the faith. And if you look in the comments, you see outrageous statements about that man towards his family, towards other people like him. It's bizarre. That's bizarre. But it's the outcrop of a particular ideology that has celebrated violence. It's celebrated crime. It's celebrated, you know, some really terrible, hateful things. We've deconstructed the family and we wonder why our society is falling apart. Family is the very building blocks of our community. Yet we have massive, major organizations calling for the deconstruction of the family or the defunding of the police. This is crazy. Well, here we are.
Well, here's what occurs to me, and I don't know, maybe just my belief, and it's not universal on the left, but a lot of progressive thinkers, they dismiss, you know, any sort of faith, and they prop government up to be a deity almost. And, you know, when government, and it's not like there's a, you know, some kind of ritualistic worship of government or anything like that, but the role that when you're looking for answers, your instinct is not to pray about it, not to meditate over it or consult scripture, but look to the government. And when you prop government up on a pedestal like that, I feel like this is the kind of world that it creates.
No, I agree with that. I listen to some of the things that people have said to me. They call it calling statesmen, calling people of faith, calling people on the right Nazis, fascists. I saw yesterday on MSNBC, one of their people said that basically he had this coming to him. So when you're saying those sorts of things, then these are the sorts of things you get, because if truly these people are Hitler, truly they're Nazis, then wouldn't you go back in history to stop the Holocaust? This crazy talk. This talk has no place. Those kinds of leaders should not be lifted up. We shouldn't be afraid of them. We shouldn't tread carefully around them. You know, in scripture, the Bible calls Christians to pull down vain imaginations that exalt themselves above the name of Jesus. Those are ideologies. And bring them, you compare them to the truth. You deconstruct those ideologies that deconstruct God's people. And so we have, you know, the church has some blame in this too. because we've been afraid to actually do what the scriptures say and to call out those things, not just saying, I don't like these things, but deconstruct those arguments and then present the truth. And you do that, then you preserve the family, you preserve the church, you preserve people's mind. And our kids have really been indoctrinated by some really terrible ideologies. For some of us, it snuck up on us. And for some of us, we saw it was bad, but we didn't have the courage to deal with it. And in fact, if you look at the young woman, Irana Zarutska, on the train in Charlotte, I think that was back in August 22nd, but we just now found out about it. It was almost a minute and 50 seconds before anyone engaged and helped that young woman as she was killed. Why would they leave it alone? Because we arrested Daniel Penny when he intervened in the New York subway. And we call that racist or whatever. You know, it's good men and good women. They respond. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. That's what Edmund Burke said. And it's time for more men and more women in some of the most benign ways to step up, you know, involving yourself in the DTO, engaging with the principal, engaging in the church, serving, volunteering, speaking, backing a pastor as he preaches, bringing your family to the house of the Lord, doing things that are right. The Bible also says for someone to know to do something that is right and not to do it, then that's sin. And so when we're confronted with something that we know is unrighteous and is not right, we should speak. We should speak. We should stand up for what's right. We need more of that. We need more Charlie Kirks. I would say, I am Charlie Kirk. We are Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk is us. There's no difference in Charlie and Jeff Poor or Travis or anyone that's listening that holds these values and speaks to these values. So this was an assault on the very fiber of America and who America has been and the ideal of America. This is a demonic spiritual attack on America and on Americans, on speech, on freedom.
Pastor, got to leave it there. We do appreciate you hopping on. Folks want to find out more about Pathway Church, how can they do so?
You can catch me on social media, Pathway Church on social media, pathwaychurch.us. And actually, a little bit later today, around 3 o'clock, I have Ryan Helfenbein, who actually followed Charlie Kirk and the work that he was doing there at Liberty University at the Freedom Center. He'll be on my podcast today at 3, and you can find me there on YouTube at Pastor Travis Johnson.
Travis Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.